Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Gaming Blender. I'm Matt, and I'm here with Scott.
Hello, Matthew. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Scott. How are you doing?
I am excellent. I'm excellent. Now, I'm going to ask you, how was your gaming week?
Oh, okay.
I weren't expecting that.
No, I wasn't expecting that. No, it's been fine. I'm still trying to crack through Fallen Order, and it's getting too hard. But you've interrupted what was meant to be my surprise thing.
I
did have a surprise thing. What I was going to do is I was going to introduce a new concept to this podcast, which was called Matt's Mega Question.
Oh, interesting. It's said with a deep voice.
I know, it's said with a deep voice, but I'm going to hold off doing it until I've quickly explained what we're all here to do. Welcome to the Gaming Blender, new listeners. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for listening. So essentially, this is the Gaming Blender where we take loads of randomized elements, so genre, mechanics, and we randomize them and we mix them up. We pick a few and mix them right up to create a wonderful blend of brand new game where we even design the narrative. And we come out with some pretty awesome hypothetical games at the end, if I don't say so myself, don't we, Scott?
Yes. Yes, we do, actually. I think I'm very, very proud of the vast majority of our creations.
So, right, are you ready for Matt's mega question?
Yes, your mega question.
So this, I'm just going to ask this to a general, so just a little change of how was your gaming week. What gaming opinion do you have that is controversial? What is your most controversial gaming opinion?
Interesting. I wasn't expecting this. I have to actually think. Okay, so I don't really like playing games with other people.
What?
No.
We play all the time. I don't have to take this.
Let me expand. So I like playing games with my friends.
Right.
And I like playing games that, you know, in small groups. So, you know, we play Football Manager in a three, we play other games in pairs, etc. But I struggle with games like Call of Duty, Battlefront. Those sorts of games that have a big lobby full of people that are always just shouting and swearing, and you've got like kids like talking crap, and you've got people making weird noises. And I know you can mute them, I know that, but it just annoys me. And I don't really like people very much.
So it's the concept the person is there still being annoying, even though you can't hear them. You know, yes, that they're being annoying to someone else in some other world, so that annoys you.
And there's always some idiot who's just jumping. Like, he just doesn't run anywhere. He just jumps everywhere. And you're just like, what are you doing, mate? Like,
maybe he loves to jump. Maybe that's just his thing. He just loves to jump. He's a basketball player in a former life.
So we play Battlefront together, okay? Online. Have you ever tried to just jump around the map? Because you can't shoot anything. You can't shoot anything if you're just jumping around.
I didn't, but I was a kangaroo in a former life, so maybe I will soon.
Well, that's a concerning thing to reveal.
I know.
I don't really know how to take that.
That's why I really like clothes with pouches on them.
Good, is all I'm going to say. Well done. Good for you.
Are you going to ask me?
No. Yes. What is yours?
I can't stand Red Dead Redemption 2.
Ooh, that's interesting. Why?
I appreciate everything about it. It's well made. It's well done. Everything is so silky smooth. But why on earth do I have to have a bath in the game? Why do I have to eat all the time? I don't like this. I just want to be there and have fun. Why am I all of a sudden just having to brush my horse to make sure my horse is clean? Oh, am I wearing the right hat? Why am I muddy? I think I waded into a river in Red Dead Redemption 2 and looked around and went, this is all too much for me. I'm just going to duck in here.
I mean, surely you can just have a wash in the river. If you just, like, swam through the river, does that wash you?
I mean, this is the thing. I have, you know, when you appreciate a piece of art and you're going to tell how amazing it is from afar.
But you don't like it.
That's my feeling towards Red Dead. My best memories of Red Dead Redemption 2 is when we played it online together. But clearly now, you weren't enjoying it either.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this because we made our own fun and I didn't really care about the sort of washing clothes and stuff. But just playing around myself, the pacing's all off for me. But again, I appreciate it's amazing. Might be one of the best games of time. I just bounced right off it like a kangaroo playing video games.
So you didn't... I sense it's going to be quite kangaroo heavy. So you didn't like the story?
I didn't mind the story. I had nothing wrong with the story. It was just I was just a bit bored. I was just like, oh, I've got so many bits and bobs I want to do, and oh, I've got to go over there. I've got to have a bath, have a shower. Ah.
You're very fixated on the bath.
I don't like having baths in video games. I can't.
Clearly, you don't like having baths in real life either.
I don't have a bath, so it's very difficult unless I clog the shower.
Ugh. Ugh. I don't want to think about that.
This is true. And with that,
the podcast.
And with that, let's move on to our wonderful, wonderful list. So everybody knows we have 1 to 15 of numbers that each number represents a mechanic, which Scott will pick from. He'll then pick two game mechanics between 1 and 29. And then we will converge them all together, trying to try our best to put everything together. And then we will try and create a narrative out of that, which will be even more exciting. So, Scott, what number?
Emphasis on try our best.
Try our best. So what genre are you going to go for, Scott, between 1 and 15?
I'm going to go for number 2.
Real-time strategy, which you've picked a lot of.
Okay, would you like me to pick something else?
I think... I'm wondering how
are we going to do a first-time redo? A re-roll?
A re-roll. We have done a re-roll before where I've called it before saying it, and I'm... You know what? I'm going to stick with it, but I'm going to make you make this real-time strategy as different as possible. I'm going to, the moment you mention Total War, I'm going to come to your house and tell you no.
Okay. Not no Total War. Got it.
I do that to anyone that says Total War, just because I don't like war. Anyway, moving on. So you now have between 1 to 29 of mechanics, and you have to pick two of them.
Okay. What a surprise. I've never had to do this before. I'm going to pick number...
I'm wondering if you could maybe push to later on in the numbers without trying to angle you too much. You generally pick one single digit and then one random mid-teens.
I'm feeling angled.
You've got to be angled.
What's the last number again?
I thought I was being very acute about the whole situation.
No, you're being very obtuse. What's the last number?
29. I thought you just asked me to tell you.
Okay, fine. I'll go for 28 and 29 then, if you're going to be like that.
Oh, good God.
Oh, no. Well, you told me to do it.
I did tell you to do it. I did. And I'm to blame.
Go on.
Interactive movie.
Sorry, is that 28?
That's 28.
Yeah.
29. Episodic storytelling.
Okay.
Ooh. Do you want me to leave you for a bit and come back?
Oh, that's just...
So,
oh dear.
Interactive movie, just for anyone going in. This is a perfect example of this, are narrative-based games where you would quite often have choices. And a good example of this is Until Dawn or the Dark Chronicles saga. So it's either Supermassive or Supergiant. I can't remember which one makes them. I always get confused between the two. But they're very good at doing them. So you make choices and your person reacts through that. The episodic storytelling is something that Telltale Games perfected, where you release it in modules, and generally your choices will carry over from episode to episode. So what we have is quite a choice-based real-time strategy game.
This is going to be difficult. However, I do think the Telltale Games are basically interactive movies told in an episodic manner.
They're very similar, but I think the challenge for us...
Is the RTS.
Then how do you make an interactive movie? And then how do you break it up?
Yeah.
So we always need to work backwards. I have an idea.
Go on.
What would happen if you were playing a general, like in your tent or surveying the battlefield, and you literally walked around the battle and you'd manually have to go and speak to people to tell them to go and do things, and each thing was like a choice, and you would direct characters to do things on the battle?
Okay.
Does that make sense? And then what would happen is you'd be making choices and you'd also be making speaking to characters, and the characters could maybe even turn on you. And what you could have is you could be stood on top of a battlement and you could look down and you could see the people doing what you had told your general to do happening in real time.
Let's just say you are... Yeah, okay. So what you're saying is you are the general of an army,
yeah,
and you take the position on the high ground so you can overlook the battlefield, and you have, say, officers that come up to you and say sir, the left flank is breaking or whatever, and then you have to make a decision based on that. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, or you could be proactive and go, I see an opportunity. I better go and talk to the bloke over there at the left flank and tell him to send his troops in.
Okay.
So you can be proactive. You're not always reactive about it. And then going sort of further, the way you could do that with the interactive storytelling is you could have every story, you could have the same army. So you develop relationships with said characters in your army. And then as you go through, you fight a different battle each time. So say four or five, each episode is a battle.
Okay.
And then obviously the relationships you develop. So if they go like, I didn't agree with the commander's last decision, he got all my men killed, he might defy you, not follow your instructions, or fully turn on you if it is going badly.
Okay. I can see where you're going with this.
Great. I really like the fact you can see where I'm going with this. Thank you so much for these compliments. This has been the Gaming Blender. Thanks so much.
What I'm going to do next time is I'm just going to say, oh, I don't know where you're going with this.
Yeah, I don't. I've got
expand,
no, I don't,
I've got no and then I'll just throw you in the deep end. okay. Yeah. No. Okay. So that works well with RTS because it's a lot less. So should we say in this game that you can only see? There's no sort of top down view. You can only see what you can see from your as if it were real life. Because let's be honest, a general in real life can only see what he can see. He can't see anything else.
You can see what he can see to see what he could see.
Yes, basically.
Yeah.
That's basically what I said.
Basically.
So I think that would make it interesting because then could you move him?
I think you could walk around. So if you had you'd have a viewing point you could walk up and down to, and I think you'd then have to walk. You'd have to walk / run to different areas. And I also
he's a general. He has a horse.
Yeah,
he can ride.
Or ride, yes. But I like the idea that you don't see everything because then you have trusted commanders coming up to you and going, as you said earlier, the left flank is breaking. And then it might be the case where you're like, I don't fully trust your decision there. And when they say the left flank is breaking, you go, no, it's not. Those soldiers will hold out or something like that. Or if you know you trust that general and that general's made previous discrete decisions, then you go, yes, let's reinforce it.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I think the only problem with episodic storytelling with this is if we make it real life and base it on something historical, for example, then it's going to kind of ruin it because you can kind of look up or know what happens.
I think that do you remember in the, I'm just about to say it.
What? Are you about to say Total War?
I'm about to say Total War. Do you remember?
I'm going to come around your house and slap you.
Shut up! Do you remember the Total War series where they had the historical batting setting? So all it did is it gave you the units.
Yeah.
And nothing else. This could be a similar thing. It just gives you the units. And then you can just have a bit of, like, either side. And the AI can just do whatever it wants. It feels appropriate.
Could you say, add something to this, could you say that actually... The episodic storytelling can go down different paths depending on whether or not you lose or win.
Yes, I think you lose men, and you can have a slightly weaker army going through. So you need if you don't lose many in the first, then you're fine. And also, the episode relationships with your generals and stuff like that does carry over, and you could lose an entire battalion because they decide to turn on you, or they make the wrong decision, or etc. So.
Could you lose a whole battle?
I think you couldn't lose a whole. I think you've got to win each battle, because I think the idea is if you're running a campaign that does mess. I don't know.
Not necessarily. You don't always win.
Yeah.
And then that could mean that you could have multiple different paths that the story goes down.
That would be interesting. I'm trying to find a way to kill the developers.
But you can have good endings and bad endings, a bit like loads of games with good endings and bad endings. You know, if you think like the Mass Effect games, you can end every single one of those games with everyone dead or everyone alive or somewhere in between.
Yeah, so just pick what flavor ice cream you'd like at the end of three.
Yes, which is essentially what happens.
Yes. You could do that. I think then what you could add is the interesting element to if your generals haven't turned on you and you get like a bad ending, you can say, and that... I don't know why I'm picturing this as Caesar and the invasion of Gaul. I don't know why, because I think that is the most interesting one.
You can do. I mean, I was picturing something of that sort of ilk. You could also do. You could do Scipio against Hannibal. There's lots of things you could do if you wanted to stick to the Roman thing. But Season of Agents of Gore would be good.
Let's back off that because we want to do a proper narrative, which we haven't been able to do.
Okay.
And I think the narrative, especially with episodic storytelling, can add a certain joie de vivre. So
should we jump into narrative?
Should we know? I think we like this. So let's jump into narrative and maybe work out a setting. So Scott now picks a narrative sort of generic story. We have 1 to 19 of like generic story threads that you find in most media. And he'll pick one of these and we'll build on it to create a brand new story. And we have also got themes, but we have only ever needed them once. So, Scott, generic plot, 1 to 19, what are you going for?
Number 6.
Revenge.
I feel like I've done revenge. We can do revenge.
I've done too much revenging of late.
We can do revenge. Okay. I'm trying to think of a good sort of... I mean, we don't have to do a historical...
Well, you could do high fantasy, and you could do this thing where essentially the classic, you could be a king or son of a king, and your father gets killed in a raid or something like that, and then you have to... you decide to take revenge when you're older and march into their lands. And based on your sort of interaction with other characters, you develop relationships with the generals and more people join your cause. So more characters join your cause throughout the journey, so you get more and more generals.
Mm.
And then depending on your relationship with them, even more join or some can desert you.
That would work absolutely fine. What I'm thinking is, could we, you know how I like to flip things on their head?
You do.
I do.
You made a tower a cave the other day.
I did. I flipped a tower on its head and it then was still a tower just upside down. What if that you played the bad guys?
Now
hear me out on this.
No.
So let's say that or you play as what would stereotypically be the bad guys. Let's say we do high fantasy, okay?
For instance.
And let's say that way back when you were maybe something that is stereotypically like a necromancer or a demon lord or something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
And let's say that you waged a war against the forces of good and you lost and you were banished or imprisoned or whatever. And let's say that you could either do a revenge story where you just generically escape and plot your revenge, or you could do something where you twist it and say, actually, the forces of good weren't actually that good. They won and were actually pretty nasty to whoever, you know, the people that were left behind, and then they resurrect you to kick out the forces of good.
Ooh.
You could do something like that, which is different because not many people like playing bad guys, but you could, if you give them no one likes to, some people do, not many people like to just slaughter people for no good reason, but if you give them a reason to play a bad guy, I think people would do that.
That's interesting.
I don't know, what do you think?
I wonder if you could sort of, it would contrast with like, maybe that would make the decisions your character makes in battle make more sense as well.
Yeah.
Because you'd be pretty ruthless and just making decisions, and you'd also have to be very careful. But I don't know. I feel like you have to be the goodie, because then when people turn on you, it makes more sense. Because the baddies rule through fear, you wouldn't expect people to turn on you.
So to scrap like necromancer, demon lord, because they're like, yep. they are evil. What if you were something that was a little bit more of the in the gray area? So something like, you could have something like, you know, something that would be considered a monster, like a centaur, or do you know what I mean? Like something that's not good or evil, but something that maybe people who would stereotypically be on the side of good, as it were, may want to wipe out for some other reason. Like, you know, orcs and goblins aren't necessarily inherently evil, but you could say...
Well, the World of Warcraft games does that, doesn't it? It keeps them...
Yeah. You could say that maybe humanity or whoever, the forces of good, I'm just going to keep saying the forces of good.
Forces of good.
We're hunting, say, let's say
we've
orcs.
Done a bit of hunting recently. We did that in the Ubisoft game. Remember, the baddies turned out to be just defending themselves. So I'm wondering whether we don't need to justify it, Maybe we just have the more of a gray area in terms of your character that you're playing is can just be morally gray because they're sending people out to die. And I think that's where I don't think you shouldn't be someone who's inherently good because that doesn't make sense from a narrative standpoint. Or maybe it does. Maybe if you start as a pure person and then your choices throughout war turn you into a bad and you get the bad ending. So that could be the message about how war corrupts.
Could you be someone who is uniting all the other non-human races against the humans?
That's very interesting because that means much more alliance stuff. So maybe what you could do then, if it's revenge, you could be a young child whose family is killed by the humans. King or burnt down. And what you do is you find out that the only people that you can rely on to rebel are these suppressed monsters, goblins, centaurs, etc. And you start raising armies with them and you start combining them into one force. So then you get the interesting dynamic where you're like, the centaurs and the goblins should charge on the right. And the centaurs go, we're not fighting next to it, no goblins. Yeah. And you have to convince them.
Yeah.
And then obviously you run up and that would make for a visually arresting battle with all these different types of units you could have.
Yeah. And I think you can have it where you, at the start of the game, you decide, you know, you can be whatever you obviously can't be a human, but you could be whatever one of these races you like.
Yeah.
And that would come with its own, you know, people would think you were, say if you were a centaur.
I think it's more interesting.
Favorites to the centaurs, you know what I mean?
I think you could be a human as well. And that just changes the dialogue slightly because I think if you're a human, everybody's mistrustful of you, but you can unite everybody.
Okay.
But you can select, as you say, centaurs. I really like this. I think this is a really unique concept. So in terms of plot, the sort of ways that you can diverge is if you win the battle, obviously, you take control of the humans, and the ways it goes are either you take control and you're a happy, benevolent ruler, you're a rule over everybody equally, fine. That's the perfect ending. You can take the throne, and if you've been fully corrupted by, and if you've f***ed everybody up, oh, I swore. if you've irritated,
you did it this time.
I did it this time. I've got to remember to edit that out at, was it 22 minutes?
Yes, you do.
Oh, no.
Listeners, it's not just me that swears.
Oh, dear. So if you've irritated everybody in your army, then they turn against you and they can overthrow you. Or if you've done it to a different...
Which would be the really bad ending.
Yes. And then a sort of lower bad ending is you take the throne, and because you had no positive relationships with any of your army, you just start to rule the humans and you cast out the goblins again. So you betray your own team, as it were.
I had an idea. I'm using Game of Thrones as a
jumping off point.
As an analogy here.
Yeah.
What if we say that the end goal of the good ending is to destroy the throne altogether so that all of the non-human races can go back to not living under anyone's dominion?
No, that's good.
You like
so,
that?
So, yeah, that's the good ending. So the middling ending is you just taking the throne and enjoying power, and kind of the bad ending is you being cast out because all the monsters disliked you.
Yeah, because we can say basically this human kingdom is subjugated and subjugated all of the other races.
Yeah.
And therefore no one has their own self-rule, as it were.
Yes.
Does that work?
No, that works for me. And then you can, as I said, you've got this element, the sort of internal plots throughout your relationship with your various generals, and you get more people. So if it'd be this tough balancing act that you go, if I'm nice to the centaurs, I will get more centaurs on my side to join me. However, I would then be favoring. I would then be favoring them too much, and I wouldn't get any other classes. And also, the other units would be more likely to either betray me or not follow my orders on the map.
Yes.
I really like this.
One thing I would like to ask about expanding on is the interactive movie bit. So the interactive movie bit, obviously, the episodic storytelling, I think we've got nailed down.
Yeah.
Because it just moves from campaign to campaign, battle to battle, etc. Which would obviously change your geographical location, environments, all that sort of stuff. The interactive movie piece, is that, obviously that is, you know, there's obviously, you know, your officers, your subunit commanders coming up to you and saying, oh, sir, ma'am, this, 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 and this, this. And you need to make decisions from there. Could you also say that there are bits where you can sort of, where sort of it sort of pans to what's actually happening in the battle? So where it comes away from your general's view and it goes into, say, the fight, and you get to see the fight. Could you do that?
Maybe you could do it almost split screen for little bits.
Okay, well, so you could have a bit where you could focus on, you could split screen it, so a certain, you know, say, oh, I want to focus on the right flank, and then it will show you what's happening on the right flank.
Maybe, or even like,
I don't know. I don't know if we're over-engineering it.
I think we're possibly over-engineering it. I think because I really like the idea of you just seeing what you can see and not getting too much. What I would make the interactive movie is you moving around to these various pockets behind your lines, and when you're meeting your different generals, it goes into a movie mode.
Right. Okay.
That's what I'd do.
Hmm. Okay, no, I think
so you go in and you could have an argument with one which is played out as a movie, and one of them could even, I mean, you could even get to the stage where one of them betrays you and tries to attack you at the very, very extremes. Can you imagine how gutting that would be when you're like, well, I know that's my left flank gone. How do you know? Well, he just tried to kill me.
Yes, no, that would be a good indication.
A good indication of things not going well.
Did we say the revenge was a personal revenge, or is it the revenge of all the
I think it's a personal revenge that drives you, because whichever character you pick has, do you remember at the start, it's a bit like at the start of Dragon Age, the original,
yes,
where you picked a character and they had a backstory. Yeah. So I think that happens. So whoever you pick has its own individual backstory, and then that's your jumping off point.
Right, okay. And that works.
So I'm pretty happy with this gameplay. So what we got is we've got an interactive movie with episodic storytelling, which has been crowbarred into an RTS, where you essentially manage your army over multiple battles, campaigns in this fantasy world, army of the rejected, almost, of civilization against the humans.
Mm.
And you make relationships with generals, and they betray you or don't betray you, and you can physically see the battle map in front of you. So you have to make the judgment based on what you see and tell people to attack or defend, and based on their relationships, they will either obey or not obey you, or they'll do well and you'll know to trust them. And then the narrative-wise, as we said, we're taking revenge for whatever's happened in our past, depending on which character you pick. And and you can get different endings based on how nice you are to various people. Like if you're hated by your army, you're immediately going to get overthrown, or you can just take the throne for yourself. Or the best ending, where you've united everybody, is you burn the throne to the ground.
And then everyone can go back to ruling themselves.
Yes, beautiful. And what are we going to call it? Total War.
We can't mention Total War anymore.
Don't mention the war. It's a very wide scope, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, how do you justify it? I mean, you'd almost need something, a dramatic name, something like Return of the King, I suppose, where it sort of implies movie grandeur.
Do you remember there was a game, I think it's just been remade actually, called All Humans Must Die. Is it All Humans Must
Destroy
Die?
All Humans.
Destroy Humans, that's it. It's making me think of that.
Destroy All Humans.
Because that's basically what we're saying.
Do you know what I like? The Alliance.
The Alliance.
The Alliance, and then you call it the Alliance Part 1, The Wars, or The Alliance Part 2, The Met, or whatever, where the fight is.
I like The Alliance. Just The Alliance.
No, but I mean is we're going to have to name the episode, because it's episodic storytelling, so you're going to have to name each episode. So you could have The Alliance, and then the part, like The Alliance Part 1.
Okay. No, that could work.
Yeah. So The Alliance, which I think would come to all consoles, probably Sony. I think we'll get an exclusivity deal with Sony. They like this sort of stuff. They're obviously big fans. Anyway, so that is a game fully blended, and that has been the Gaming Blenders. Thank you so much for listening. Please send us any ideas for games that you have, and we can try and mesh them into a game for you. And please leave us a review if you enjoyed it. If you didn't enjoy it, then tell a friend and that you didn't enjoy it, and then tell the friend that they've got to listen to our podcast anyway. It's part of the deal. Yes. But again, thank you so, so, so much for listening. We really do appreciate it, and we really hope you enjoyed it. I've been Matt.
And I've been Scott.
Keep blending. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.